Well, thanks for inviting us to come and share. My name's Eric Ellis. I've been at Gideon now for about almost 4 years. And I work as a quality engineer for a pharmaceutical company in Bloomington. And since COVID started, I've been working remotely from home, which has kind of been nice. It saved me from having to drive an hour each way. But I've enjoyed, you know, just being part of the Gideons and the ministry that they do. And it's given me an opportunity to get to come here and meet you people and meet the pastors and get to know them better. And we're thankful for the support that you guys provide to the Gideons. So if you had 29 million Bibles, if you personally had that many Bibles, what would you do with those Bibles? Give them away. Very good. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you could take one and read it, right? Or take a couple and keep them. But and I was just talking with Laura before the service about a couple of Bibles that she had and what she's doing with those extra Bibles and how she's giving those away. So even if we have extra, a few Bibles, you know, there's always somebody that needs a Bible. The Gideons last year, despite of COVID, was able to pass out and distribute a total of 29 million Bibles around the world. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the lives that received the New Testament. And one of the opportunities that we had last month was to be on the ISU campus, and we passed out a total of 860 Bibles just from our small camp, and we had some other gentlemen from Clay County and Indianapolis join us as well. And two of the students accepted Jesus as their Savior that day that we were on campus. So praise the Lord. We're excited about lives being changed even while we're there. And a lot of times, just because, you know, when we pass out testaments, we're really the sowers of the word. You know, God is the one that brings and convicts, you know, the person's heart and brings them to Jesus. But we enjoy the time that we have on ISU, on the campus, because it's a chance to get to talk with the kids, get to know them a little bit, and to hear some of their stories. And it's like an international mission field, because there's kids from all over the world that come to ISU to study. I was able to talk with a young man from Saudi Arabia, and one thing that he mentioned that he noticed since he's been here in the Terre Haute community is that he says he really likes this area because people smile more than other places that he's been to. So even our community is having an impact. And the Gideons here in Terre Haute, we pass out testaments at other places, at the prisons, in the hospitals, at the hotels. Of course, we place Bibles in the hotel rooms. And some hotels are getting a little more difficult to pass those testaments out. And we also do other places like 14th and Chestnut, and at the Vigo County Fair. This past year, I think we passed out about 330-some testaments during the fair. And, you know, it's neat to get to see the young kids when they receive a testament. Many of them are very excited, and their parents are excited as well. But we know that the students at ISU, they're hungering. There's a lot of kids that will just walk by us and ignore us. But a lot of them, you can tell, just have a deep need. We talked with a young man named Blake, who was deeply depressed, and we prayed for him. But we know that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, like David says in the book of Psalms. It's not only a local distribution that we're a part of, but we're also supporting the greater distribution of testaments around the world. And every month we get a what we call a scripture needs dashboard. that has some of the top places that we're distributing Bibles in. And one place that you would probably not think about, but India, because of it's a huge population. But India is really growing in their desire to learn more about Christianity and to learn about who Jesus is. And I think last month we had a total of 2.1 million testaments that were shipped to India. So the support that our American churches provide for the Gideon ministry goes directly to helping pay for the printing and the distribution of those Bibles all around the world. So you're helping not just locally impact lives, but you're helping lives in other worlds. There's a total of 160,000 Gideon members around the world, and there are camps in India, and there are camps in many different countries. I think we're in a total of 200 different countries around the world, and the testaments that we have are printed in about 90 different languages. So a couple of the testaments that are passed out in India look like this, just real thin. These are New Testaments that are printed in a couple of different, I guess, Hindi dialects. I'm not really sure which ones they are, but these are two of the example testaments that are passed out to people in India. We also have our own personal testaments that we keep, and when we're out and about, if we feel the Lord leading us to hand a testament and to talk with a young, you know, or person, we'll give them this testament. And the Bible has, in the front, it has a needs section. So if there are some things that a person might be dealing with, they can look up the scriptures that are related to that specific need. And then in the back is the God's plan of salvation that walks the person through the different scriptures that would allow them to understand who Jesus is and why we're sinners and why we need Jesus in our lives. Recently, Brad Lawson, one of the Gideons, told us about a story of a young man that he gave a testament to. The young man was a waiter at Olive Garden and was not from Indiana, but he was excited to have that testament and was thankful to get it. So it's, you know, and he shared a little more of his story with Brad about where he was coming from and why he was glad to have some guidance for his life. And so there's a lot of testimonies, and I think the next time I come, I'm going to be sure to bring a video of a testimony that's really impacted my life. But there was a young man that grew up in Miami, and when he was young, he saw someone get shot and murdered on his, just right outside his apartment where he was hanging out, just kind of watching. And so he ended up joining a gang and then ended up killing someone, a rival gang member, and then ended up in prison. And through God's working out things that we can't understand, he ended up receiving a testament, a Gideon testament. And he had nothing else to do because he was in solitary confinement, so he started to read that word. And he started to realize that the men that were in the Testament, in the New Testament, were men, just common, ordinary men that God was using. And God then changed his life from within that prison cell. And once he was out, he completely was different. And to hear his story, it's just amazing. He's now, you know, a father. He works in the church, and his life was completely changed. So we're thankful for those lives that are being impacted, and we know that you know, it costs money to print and distribute these testaments around the world, but it's only $1.20, and the support that the churches give go directly to the printing of those testaments. The Gideons ourselves, we provide for the overhead of operating the ministry. That comes directly from us. But the churches, the financial support goes directly for the Bibles only. And so there are many different ways that the church can support through donations, through the use of our Gideon cards. And I think, I need to check, I think you might have a card display here. If not, I've got one on the table out there by the door. But I can leave that here. But anyway, you can give to the Gideons in memory of someone that may have passed away, or if you're thinking of somebody, you can let them know that you've donated for the purchase of a Bible. There's also Friends of the Gideons, and I've got some flyers out on the table by the front door if you're interested in supporting the Gideons on a monthly basis. So we're thankful that, you know, we've been able to keep the cost of the distribution of those Bibles very low. But the Gideons are basically humble men. We just love, you know, being able to share the gospel with people. And the distribution of testaments is not the only thing that we do. I mean, our ministry is really a men's ministry to kind of get businessmen and professional men together to kind of share about our lives and to kind of support each other. And we meet each Saturday morning at Pat's Cafe south of town there at Boot City. And at 7 o'clock we'll get together and we'll read scripture and we'll pray and we'll talk about things that are going on in each of our lives and encourage each other. So if you're a man and you're looking for a ministry that you want to participate in, I would highly suggest, you know, checking us out and thinking about what impact your life can have through the Gideon ministry. In Isaiah, God speaks directly to Isaiah and to us. And the beautiful thing about God's word is that, as God said in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And we know that God is working his will out. God's a great God. He's a good God. And even though many times we don't see that happening, we may not see the fruit that comes about because of the word. But we know that Jesus is the good news, and that's what we're excited about, because there is no other way to God the Father or to be with him for eternity than through Jesus. I had the chance to go to Washington, D.C., and I went to the Museum of the Bible, which is kind of interesting, that right in the middle of our country's capital, that there's a Museum of the Bible, which is a beautiful building, and I learned a lot just walking through there. But the main thing that really struck out to me is that throughout history, God has spoken his word, and it's been written down. And even though evil has tried to prevail against the word and try to destroy it and try to remove it, God has been faithful in keeping that word alive. And the New Testament is where we just are thankful for the number of scriptures that are available now, the number of Bibles that we can get. And not only just, you know, hardback or printed copies, but there's also the electronic version, which is on the, we've got a Gideon's app, and it's just, you know, everybody can have a testament with them, whether they're carrying the word on them or not. And so a couple of scriptures I'd like to close with to share with you. If you have your Bible or your phone and you want to open up to Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So much right now with everything that's going on and things that are happening in the world that are kind of hard to understand, and a lot of the suffering that we have with through our physical suffering, through suffering of relationships. You know, James tells us to be joyful, and the reason for that is because we know that there's something better than what we have here on earth, and we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. But we know that God is a God of hope, and that's what a lot of people need, especially in today's world, is hope. And with that hope, we can have joy and peace. Another scripture is in Colossians 1, verse 23. It says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." And one thing I'm thankful for about this church, for Terre Haute Bible Center being here, is that you guys are stable and steadfast, and you continue to push, and you continue to stay in the faith. And the hope of the gospel will be the result of that stable and steadfastness. So let me just close my presentation with a word of prayer, and I thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. Almighty Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for who you are and for the goodness and greatness that you bless us with each and every day. We know, Father, that this is not the end result, and that there is something far better because of your Son Jesus, because of his willingness to come to earth and to die and then to rise from the dead. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray that we would continue, I pray that Terre Haute Bible Center would continue to be stable and steadfast, and to continue to trust you in all things, and that you would just bless Pastor Nash and the leaders here in this church, and we thank you for their support, and we pray that you would continue to make your word known around the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And I've listened to several of them. And Dr. Falwell was doing for those students what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to do for us when we were sitting in chapel at Bob Jones University. How to live life. How to live life. Not great doctrinal expositions, but the practical application of the scripture to life. And that's what Dr. Falwell is bringing to the students in those chapel messages. And I think you will be helped and perhaps personally impressed as you listen and look at this message, Strength for the Journey.
The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's good to start well, it's better to end well. Job chapter 1, the oldest book in the Bible, Job 1, verses 20, 21, and 22. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said," this was after he had lost his children and his wealth, "naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The day you have dreaded. We all have a day that we dread. I remember as a boy asking the Lord to let my parents live longer than I, because I loved them so much. And as a little boy, I couldn't think being in the world without my father and mother. But my father died in 1948 when I was 15. And my mother died in 1977. And the fact is that Our parents usually do precede us. I don't know what the day you have dreaded is, but it's quite likely that day will come upon you. It did, in fact, come upon Job. Nobody ever suffered like Job suffered, but he lost all 10 of his children in one day. He lost his wealth. He later lost his health, all in a matter of 2 days. And there's much we can learn from him about victory in life's deepest difficulties and darkest hours. His story is one of the most incredible accounts in the Bible. It is set in the days of the ancient patriarchs. It reveals the cosmic spiritual struggle that goes on in heaven behind the scenes of this life. There are things happening in your behalf in the heavenlies of which you have no knowledge, as Satan and the Lord God are doing battle over your soul and your future and your ministry. The bottom line that we need to learn in life, because there are more bad days than good ones, is that there is no security except in Christ. There is no security except in Christ. As Job is introduced in the Bible book that bears his name, we are told that he was a man of great, great wealth. He had much substance. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was blessed with 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. By today's standards, he would be a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett or an Art Williams. He would have driven a Rolls Royce and had a regional jet or a Canadian Challenge airplane. He would have lived in a mansion, wealthy beyond comprehension. But bad things do happen to God's people. Bad things do happen to God's people. The scripture tells us that though he was a righteous man who loved God and righteousness and family, he eschewed, he hated evil, and yet on one day, great calamity came to him, and a second day, worse calamity. The Bible emphasizes that Job's wealth was a blessing from God, by the way. It is not wrong to be wealthy. Some of you are studying business, and God may have given you the gift of making money. And God may have made you one with the gift of administrating and leading others. You may be a leader, a great leader in the making. Dr. Borig suggested that maybe one of our law school graduates one day will sit on the Supreme Court. I hope so. I hope some will sit in the Congress. I hope some will sit in state houses. That others will be in law, a force for good and for godliness. But the fact is that it is not wrong to have wealth. It is wrong for wealth to have you. And if you have wealth and you give that wealth to God, then God will bless you for that. Satan is lying wait for every one of us. We have an enemy. He's a roaring lion who is going up and down and to and fro in the land, attempting to devour us. And we read in chapter 1 of Job that Satan appeared before God and complained that Job served God only because God had so abundantly blessed him. Satan then challenged God to take his wealth away from him, to hurt him, to come against Job, and that Job would curse him if he did. Instead, God told Satan, Job 1, verse 12, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." In that verse, God emphasized a great spiritual truth. Satan has no power over your life or mine except by the permission of God. Let me repeat that. Satan has no power over your life or mine except by the permission of Almighty God. Therefore, we must trust in the providence of God. Devastated by his personal tragedies, Job's response, Job 1:21, should be yours and mine in every calamity. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Satan came before God a second time and said, yes, yes, Job continues to praise you. He's lost his 10 children, lost all of his wealth, but he has perfect health. If you were to take his health away from him, he would curse you. And the Lord gave him permission. Satan said, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. Job 2, 4 and 5. But look at verse 6. God said, behold, Job is in thine hand, but save his life. You can do anything you want to Job, but you mustn't touch his mind or his life. You see, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God can keep your life, and your mind is your life. God can keep your life and your mind intact, and he will do it until he is ready to take you home and out of this world. And so Satan devised a plan. He struck Job with a terrible disease. Job came down with boils, which covered his entire body from head to foot. He had not only lost what he loved most, that is his children, and not only lost what he valued most, his possessions, but now he had lost his health as well. I hope you treasure your health properly. I thank God for good health. I'm 69 years old. I have friends of mine, my age, who in years past I've already buried. I graduated from high school and college with them. I preached their funerals. I preached, sadly, many funerals of men and women who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I know many in wheelchairs and many who are crippled, who are lame, who cannot move, who have cancer and other terrible diseases, who are younger than I. So I thank God that I, as far as I know, am in perfect health. I thank God for that. I thank God for strength. It's a wonderful thing to be able to move, to walk. Just to walk on your own is a marvelous thing. You can only appreciate that if you cannot walk. It's a wonderful thing to have great eyes, to be able to see. I wear glasses, but I see, I can read, I can do all the things that I did when I was young. And I'm asking the Lord for, as Hezekiah did, an extension of days. I've asked him, you know, Hezekiah asked for 15 years and got it. That's a dumb mistake. He should have asked for 30. I've asked the Lord for long life because I want to see this law school producing America's leaders, the world's leaders. I want to see somewhere down the road other professional schools here. Our burden one day is 50,000 students, 25,000 on the campus, 25,000 our external programs, a 50,000 student Christian university that can change the world. That's my dream. And I've asked the Lord, let me live to see that. Well, God doesn't have to do that, but I'm trusting in his providence, and I'm thanking him for good health. And I hope you are thanking God for all the good gifts that come down from him, and that you also are trusting in his providence. However, we need to understand that it may get worse before it gets better. As the scene opens in the section of the story in Job that I read to you, he's sitting in a pile of ashes, pathetically scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery. He has been reduced to the trash pile of life. And I cannot imagine his suffering and his pain. Broken, rejected, he sits there all alone. Even his wife comes by, Job 2:9, and tells him to curse God and die. His preacher friends come by and accuse him of secret sin. And their consolation turned to condemnation and criticism. He loses all of his friends. And just when Job thought things could not possibly get worse, they did. He not only had lost his 10 children, all of his wealth, he was a pauper. Now his wife and his best friends have written him off, and he's sitting in pain and misery on a heap of ashes. And yet in the midst of all of that, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, Job 13, verse 15, Job said, "Though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. Though the Lord kill me, yet will I trust in him." Now, kids, you haven't gotten there yet. You're too young, probably. But things can happen real quickly. You can lose your mom and dad in one phone call. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm telling you about reality. You can lose your health. Every year, this is a sad thing to say, but every year we bury student body members. They drown, they're killed in a car crash. What is that day of dread that you fear most? What is the one thing in this world that could happen to you that would be the most horrible, unthinkable, unacceptable thing possible, imaginable? That day can come as it did in Job's life. But we must learn to trust God in the darkness. We must learn to trust God in the darkness. In all of this, Job did not let his faith in God waver. In spite of his personal pain, he learned to keep on keeping on by the grace of God. He stayed the course. Now, some of you are freshmen, others sophomores, juniors, seniors, graduate students. But the day will come when you get that final piece of paper here at Liberty and maybe another professional school somewhere, and you're off to the task of life, your calling, your vocation, with your spouse and your children. And I want to tell you, the day that you dread the most can come somewhere along the way. Donald Jewett is sitting right down here, 87, 84, I made you too old, 84. He and his wife Dorothy have been with me for about 40 years when we were dreaming about this school. They're from Duanesburg, New York. Business people and a huge poultry business. And through the years, he's written checks to this university and helped us build it. And there's a dorm 17 is becoming Jewett Hall, named for he and Dorothy, who many years have given many dollars. And last year we brought down and said, we're going to name this hall for you and Dorothy, because nearly 2 years ago, I had to go to Duanesburg and preach his dear wife of more than 50 years, 50 years plus marriage. I had to bury her. My wife and I, today is my wife's 69th birthday. And this morning, I told her what I've told her a few thousand times. How much I love her and how much she means to me and how life would be so difficult without her. But the day will come when either she or I will lose the other. The day that we dread the most, and we must trust God in the darkness. And notice, he trusted God in spite of his personal pain and loss. And because of that abiding faith, God eventually vindicated Job and blessed him with 10 more children and twice as many possessions as he had before. Job knew he could depend on God no matter what went wrong, no matter who abandoned him, how dark the day was. And he finished well, far ahead of where he was when the day of dread came. God will never put more on you than he will put in you to bear it up. It is often darkest just before the dawn. The real question for you, for me, for all of us, is how are we handling our problems? Are we thinking about quitting, abandoning the course, turning our back on God, quitting the ministry, quitting our marriage, quitting school? Are we thinking about becoming a member of the band of losers in this world who, having put their hand to the plow, look back? Or are you committed to stay the course, to remain strong, Because as I entitled my message today, God will give you strength for the journey. 15 years ago, Simon & Schuster asked me to write my autobiography. And they asked me for a title. I wouldn't have taken the time, but except they said, if you'll let us publish your autobiography, we'll give you $1 million up front. I said, I don't need to pray about that. And I wrote the book. But they asked, what is a good title? I said, well, I know what my title would be, but you're the pros. What would your title be? This Jewish publisher asked. Strength for the journey. I've had to trust God every day, one day at a time, for strength for the journey. And that was 15 years ago when I was 54. I'm 69 now, and it's still strength for the journey. You're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, or older, maybe a few 17s. I want to tell you, you need strength for the journey right now, this journey, today. And you get that by trusting God. Hang on to the promises of God. Job's greatest source of strength was this. He believed in the promises of God. There are 3,000 promises in the Bible. Job knew in the depth of his heart that he could trust God to be true to what he had promised, and that God would bring him through all of his severe troubles. And there's absolutely nothing that can occur in your life or mine which God has not promised to see us through. He has not promised to keep us out of trouble. But he has promised to keep us while we are in trouble. The three Hebrew children were not spared the fiery furnace. They were thrown in. As a matter of fact, it was heated 7 times hotter than before. So hot that it killed the man who threw them in. But when the king looked in, he didn't see 3 men. He saw 4. And he said, one is like unto the Son of Man. And when they were released from the fiery furnace, they not only were not injured, the scripture says, there was not even the smell of smoke in their garment. I have people tell me when they meet me, and this is all because of Christ, they tell me, you radiate. You don't seem to have any burdens. You don't seem to. The fact is that we all have burdens. But the Lord Jesus shining through us can cause us not even to have the smell of smoke in our garment. That is, we won't have the wrinkles and the concern and the anguish and the fear in our eyes. God can literally liberate us to enjoy every moment of life, no matter how dark the day is. And we can have strength for the journey. Why? Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, the psalmist said. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This makes it clear that God will be there to help us whenever and wherever. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, Proverbs 18:10. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. God is our refuge in times of trouble, and God is always there. He is not there sometimes. God is always there. Omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and he lives in us. So rely upon the provision of God. A promise is only as good as the one who made it. Jehovah God made all the promises in that book. Rely on the provision of God. Why? Because nothing, nothing, nothing is too hard for the Lord. That's right, nothing is too hard for him. What is the challenge, the dread you are facing today? Nothing's too hard for him. Call upon the name of the Lord. Make lemonade out of the lemons in your life. That bad thing, Romans 8:28, all things, even the bad ones, work together ultimately for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And remember, the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Calvary must become personal to you. Jesus died for the world, but thank God he died for me. He died for you personally. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. There's coming a day when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. Having read the final chapter of the book, bottom line, we win. We win. I'm on 60 Minutes Sunday night. I made that program this past summer. And the question was, why are Christians supportive of the state of Israel? The answer is of the Abrahamic covenant. I was asked, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, aren't they pretty much all the same? I said, no way. Christianity was born out of Judaism, so we have a kinship. The Old Testament Judaism became the New Testament Christianity, but Islam never. The Jehovah of the Bible is not Allah of Islam. Two different gods. And your God has made you a promise that His grace is sufficient no matter what. God loves you as an individual. Christ died for you as an individual. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's the bottom line. Stay the course. Stay the course. Never, never, never quit. And one day, you may be a member of the class of 2006 today, but one day you'll be attending the alumni banquet. And one day you'll be out there. One of our regents here played baseball at Liberty. He graduated here a long time ago. Got a wonderful Christian wife. He's in business now, and God's blessing them, and they're part of the Board of Regents. They're alumni now, but they were sitting where you sit. He was sitting where you are one day. God has a great future for you, a wonderful plan. Stay the course. He will give you strength for the journey. Let's bow our heads in prayer.